On today's incredible spit hit, we talk about brownie eating habits, dying on a magic carpet. Right, I forgot about that conversation. We also dish out life advice, as we usually do, and we close it down with a draft of the best sitcom characters. Ladies and gentlemen, before you start this show, tell your friends. Pick one out of your context. Say one or two people and say they need to know about this show because it is so hilarious and so, so funny. Now that you've done that, enjoy the show.
What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
A Scooby-Dooby-Doo, there's a pickle in my shoe. Bananas!
Oh, man. Oh. I'm really torn on this one because it was actually not bad. But it was too cringy. It was like, I am uncomfortable right now with how cringy.
We got two food references.
And a Scooby-Doo was in there. Well, all right.
Your catchphrase, welcome to the Spitballers Podcast, everybody.
Yeah, welcome in.
Your catchphrase on this show is Badingy.
Yeah, it's my catchphrase.
So you simply modified Badingy into banana?
Yes, when I go food, I wanted to end with something a little bit different.
There's a pickle in your shoe.
There's a pickle
banana.
In your shoe. Bananas. It was plural.
Oh, multiple bananas.
It's bananas.
Was bananas like the exclamation of, oh, I cannot believe that there's pickles in my shoes.
Yeah,
bananas.
Like if you were walking around and you found a pickle in your shoe, you'd go, okay. This is bananas.
Okay.
It made perfect sense.
Mm. I'm with it.
Just like this show always does. Now
liked it.
We are on episode 160 of the Spitballers Podcast.
Oh, we're five away.
165 is the return of the owl, as we're calling it. And so we will have a scat likely superior to the one I just performed, brought by a very sweaty, nervous Al Borland in five shows. Would you rather life advice? And we are drafting the best sitcom characters on today's episode of the show. Want to thank everybody out there that's supporting the Spitballers Podcast. You can do that on spitballerspod.com. All of our patrons, thank you so much for keeping the show going. We are excited to be bringing you not only the new episode every single week, but the spit hits every Thursday.
Oh,
that's been a lot of fun.
Been by popular demand.
Yeah. Mm. So we've got a couple of entertaining episodes a week for you. And we are very thankful for all of the reviews that I've been reading. People enjoying. I like it when people listen to the show and then they have to go hide so that they can laugh. Those are the situations I enjoy the most, where they're in a place where they don't feel comfortable laughing at the show at full volume. So then they have to go hide and laugh, which makes you creepier.
Do not.
You're a weirder person.
Don't hide in the bathroom.
Like run in there and laugh?
Yeah. Like if you are working.
Without checking the
stalls? If you're in an office building. And I walk in.
You don't
want
giggle
in,
bathroom.
And someone's just cackling up a storm in one of the stalls.
Right.
That's a situation.
So be careful of that.
Yeah.
It's one of the warnings that we've been required to put on the podcast. You
also
guys want to get
share the joy, man.
Yeah. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your family. Listen in the car.
Hey.
Listen with your friends. Listen with your family.
Bananas.
Bananas. Let's get this going.
Would you rather?
This makes, for what it's worth, this is the 160th consecutive time I don't know what's going to happen on this show.
Oh, all right. Feels like that's going to work.
Joel Bowl Barbecue from Patreon writes in, says, when eating a brownie, would you rather have an edge piece or a middle piece?
This is a great would you rather, as this is a question that stands the test of time. You have actual brownie plates, pans, not plates. I don't know if you guys have seen
this. The demand has been high enough to where they make a pan.
Exactly, where it's all edges. It looks like a maze.
Yeah.
So that you can have an edge on every single slice of brownie.
Which I think is a really cool idea.
It is if you're
into edges.
If you're a psychopath,
oh,
that,
no.
That would pick the edge over the ooey gooey middle. What are you doing with your life?
I think the edge. I think there are merits to both, right? You get the center, you get the gooey, and I get that. But you can only have so much gooey, genuinely. Like, look.
What are you talking about?
Look at me.
Yes.
Look at me. I
eat,
and
that's a lot of gooey.
I eat, and I eat. That's a lot of gooey. But the truth is, even I can't do, like I feel
what,
like.
What?
No.
You
no.
can't gooey too much gooey?
If you gave me a norm, like, not the maze, but just a normal pan filled with brownies, you said I have to eat half. Here's how you get to eat it. Eat the entire outside, the entire ring, or the entire inner.
Uh-huh.
There's no way I could do the inner. But that outside, you can keep going with that little bit harder.
Let me be
clear. Oh, yeah.
Let me be clear. Everything Jason is trying to convey is so spot on to how I feel about brownies, or even, I mean, you could take this to like a large cookie as well.
Yeah, cookie is a completely different dessert. Different rules.
It's a different shape, that's for sure.
Yes.
And
yeah, exactly. But you can't fit a square brownie into a circle cookie?
No, that's one of the classic idioms of all time. But Jason's right. When you are going to indulge, you can't have 1,000 bites of gooey.
Mm.
But that's why I would like to try the brownie pan situation that's here.
You'd like to eat a whole pan?
Right. This is why I like to eat a pan.
We could test this out right now.
So wait, if you could have, it doesn't change for you if it's like, if it's one bite of brownie, I'd take the goo. One giant bite, I'm taking the gooey part.
No, how do you eat a brownie? Let's say you have an edge piece
with
of
my
brownie.
Mouth.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. You have a piece of brownie that's got one edge.
I eat the gooey first.
Really? You save the crispy crunchy for the end?
You eat the outside and then you go
in?
Of
course, because you save the best for last.
Like
do you eat the outside first because it's on the outside. This is simple.
Well, it's on the outside simply because
how are you going to eat the middle first? It's impossible.
I'm talking about
the front or the back of a square of brownie. You don't poke a hole through the middle and eat the inside.
That's what I'm saying. You don't just go right for the middle. That's a psychopath.
But Mike, you don't trim the outside of your big cookie, do you? Like take nibbles around the whole outside to save the inner?
Oh, what?
I have done that almost.
Yeah, absolutely, you
do.
I do that all the time.
Yes.
If it's a good cookie where the outside's a little crispy, the inside's a little doughy, I work my way around.
My grandpappy always said you eat the cookie you're dealt straight up, straight through.
Yeah, but it's your choose your own adventure when it's your own cookie. When it's the bottom of the ninth and there's two outs, you don't want a single. You want a grand slam home run and you want the gooey middle to finish it off.
Okay, but let me just play devil's advocate here.
Your edges.
What I'm saying is, isn't the best bites of the cookie actually the first few bites when you're hungry for cookie? Because of the satisfaction of that first cookie bite, wouldn't you want that to be the best bite? As opposed to maybe the cookie's so big, I gotta finish this cookie, you're a little full, it's not as delicious at the end.
But a cookie, you can't, it's scientifically proven that the middle of the cookie is the best part, and you can't hole punch out the middle of a cookie and start with that.
Man, I love the corners of a square pizza. I'm going to tell you right I'm going to tell you right now. I can think about right now are the little baby triangle corners of
the
a pizza.
The ones that like have 25% of the slice has actual cheese and sauce on it?
I'm talking the thin crust. That's
I know what you're talking about.
But you eat
about.
The corners?
Oh, the corners are the best, man.
You
they're little bite-sized.
You make it like a stop sign? A little stop sign of pizza?
I want them to just sell the little corners and like in a bag, and I'll just eat them like chips.
Okay. Mike, here's the question I have for you. You go to a party.
Okay.
They're setting out pre-cut pieces of brownie on a table.
Yeah.
Which side are they facing towards the crowd? Are they facing the back side with the crust, or are they facing the gooey side towards you?
I believe that you're going to get a random assortment.
Oh, you are not. They're going to put the
goose side towards you.
The
goose side would clearly be towards you. It's just...
That's how you serve a brownie.
There's simple etiquette in life. Certain things that are...
How do they serve your pie, Mike? Crust side front?
Would you like an orange juice with this cookie?
There is no level of OCD out there that the person who is managing the party is going to cut up the brownie, pull it out of the pan, and set it up so that they're all angled exactly the same way.
When you go to a fine dining restaurant and they set your edge piece right in front of you, where's the back of it facing?
away from me.
That's right, it is.
So yeah, wait, what because is they're hiding it.
So the final answer here.
Hold on, but okay, when they set down a piece of pizza, the crust is in the back.
I'm just saying they expect you to eat the goo first. That's all I'm saying.
They're presenting the best part of it to you, and then it's up to you.
You eat your pizza crust first?
No! No one does that!
My son does that.
No!
So I'm so sorry.
He's the kid from the Pizza Hut commercial?
Yeah, he's straight up the kid from the Pizza Hut commercial. He just always eats crust first.
Cool sunglasses, backwards hat. That's
darn right.
You're a walking, talking food hypocrisy machine right now, Mike. You don't save the best pizza part for the last?
No, because that's food.
Oh,
that's the appetizer.
Wait a minute. What are you talking... You're not saying the crust is the best part of a pizza.
No, I'm saying, okay. he's saying the edge of a brownie is not the best part, but he eats it first.
Because the gooey part of the brownie is the dessert, and the dessert goes at the end of the dinner.
So you have to eat the meal?
So it is the final part of the experience, best for last.
Okay, there at least you have some delusional logic to it.
Outside's better.
All right, Tessa from Twitter, would you rather sweat milk or sneeze glitter?
Oh, one of these is a party.
One of these is a party, and one of these is a nightmare, okay? Let me tell you something about when I sweat. I am hot. I don't sweat when I'm freezing cold, going to have some nice chilled milk rolling down my...
Okay, we're changing it, because that was my first reaction was, I am now sweating hot, curdled milk.
Yeah, just...
It's warm ice cold. Milk. This is ice cold milk.
I get to...
You can lick your arm.
You could. If no one's around you and you wanted to just sweat, drip it into a cup, you could drink it.
Just hypothetical then. Does that mean that you are wiping an Oreo on your armpits?
I don't think you got to go armpits. I mean, I sweat everywhere.
I'm sure.
I'll just put it on my forehead. Just a little dab, dab, and eat away.
Sir, are you sitting on Oreos?
Hot or cold?
I am.
Hot or cold, you are still covered in milk all day.
That is a problem.
But there's a big difference between it being cold and hot milk.
Not much.
Not much, but there's a difference.
It will go from cold to milk on your warm body real quick.
Forget milk. Just imagine that our normal sweat had a color at all. It's blue. Everything's ruined. Everything.
You just look like a Powerade commercial.
Your car seat's ruined. Your couch ruined. Your shirts are single-use only, disposable. Like, thank goodness our sweat is clear.
You would probably have to get in a full body suit, in which case you would be collecting milk from within it, just not to contaminate your whole world.
And then you just dump the shoe out?
Yeah.
On the flip side, man.
Gotta milk myself.
If I could choose between sneezing glitter and normal sneezing... Uh-huh. I think I would sneeze glitter, man.
Well, you're not thinking about the mess.
But there's glitter.
Ooh, that's a good point.
In this situation, glitter is a problem. You have to sneeze once a day. This is not, because to me, I'm like, I could never sneeze if I wanted to. Like, I can stop every sneeze that I have coming.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I've worked on it for a long time.
I can stop some of them, but not every single time. At least I'm usually getting at least a little.
Maybe if I'm sick, I could.
I'm going to say you can stop the sneeze, you know, where you go. And it's just on your head.
But now your mouth is full of glitter.
Your nose cavity is full of glitter. And you got to pick that stuff out.
Now, here's a problem with the sneeze. You always, you're supposed to, at least out there, you got to cover the sneeze. And like my go-to, I go sneezing the shirt.
Really?
Yeah.
Not elbow.
No, I prefer to go into the shirt.
That does make sense.
When you go into the elbow, your elbow is now very moist from your sneeze.
That's true, but I have seen a lot of these in recent history masks. I don't know if you knew about this.
Yes.
They've been like in the news, and I'm guessing your shirt, it's just blasting right through. Like from a germ perspective, you're firing probably, I mean, you're not.
That's
you don't,
a good question.
I mean, you don't have a.
I think it's doctor approved.
I don't know. That's a cotton shirt, right?
Yeah.
You're not wearing one of them.
I'm not wearing polyester.
You don't have a HEPA shirt on? Nothing getting through that?
We need some doctors to answer this question. It's got to be better than going into the elbow.
No, because the elbow is not going to go
anywhere. You can't go through the elbow.
But you go around the elbow. Well, you got some spray out.
Not everybody's elbow.
So you go in your shirt.
That's a big elbow.
I don't understand. Like you're putting full, like, are you going eyes deep in your shirt?
Going over the nose.
Yeah, I've seen it. That's why all his shirts are a little stretched in the front.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sneezing the crap out of
them. That's the collar problem.
I
got to
fit this big schnoz in there.
Okay.
Oh, that's just from going over the head. Never mind.
That's true.
You know I have to put this shirt on, right? That's the biggest problem of my day.
He steps into him.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to stretch it out.
He pulls him up. He pulls his shirts up from the bottom. All right.
I'm sneezing glitter, by the way.
Is that
and
Raquel?
When you sneeze, are you leaning back full Godzilla?
Oh, yes.
To spray
and
to
I'm not.
Air.
You. Andy says clean up. No. This is just over time. You're going to come to my house full glitter party. Yeah, it's just it's shiny and sparkly everywhere.
When he gets really sick, the bed is just loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Glitter everywhere.
It's a delight. Keeps me from getting depressed.
Raquel from Patreon, would you rather go on a magic carpet ride with Aladdin or fly to Neverland with Peter Pan? Either adventure lasts 90 minutes.
Ooh.
I'm going with Peter Pan. This is the easiest question I've ever heard.
I don't know about that. Cause it's
sell me on Aladdin.
I want it to be Peter Pan here, but here's my word of warning. How do you get to Neverland?
Second star on the right, straight on till morning.
Morning.
Oh my gosh, you only go 90 minutes.
Yes.
You're trapped in space.
You're fine. You're fine.
Okay, you found a bad loophole here, and it's fair. But he goes pretty. I doubt in any of these movies that it's taken him 90 plus minutes to get to Neverland.
It's straight on till morning, man.
Yeah, but I mean, eventually they are portaling, right? We know that they're going into a portal.
Wait a minute. I got the answer. Okay. We're going Pan. We take off about 60 minutes before morning, so we're going to be just fine.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Straight on till morning, so the whole night goes.
Right. You don't want to leave at sundown because that's good.
That's my big question is, I get to fly with Pam, which that sounds pretty cool.
I mean, it is flying.
Do I get to experience any sort of Neverland? Or is
no,
it?
No,
yeah,
I don't
you
think
get to
so.
See a little Neverland.
If you get to see Neverland, it's a done deal. I mean, it's just a done
the
deal.
The magic carpet ride, I'm puking everywhere on that one. That thing is
probably.
That thing is a sky roller coaster that I can't handle.
How fast?
Over, sideways, and under?
Ooh.
No,
yeah.
Thank you.
How fast is the carpet? Because if I'm remembering correctly, in Aladdin, I mean, they go to many different countries, right?
Yes.
Like
it also gets out of a volcano situation very quickly. I believe it's zero. If you have the Plaid version, it's 0-60 in 2.2.
I will say this. I have had thoughts before about magic carpet ride. Not
really
specifically,
shouldn't.
But magic carpet rides, like they seem like they would be magical. It would be the most terrifying thing ever. You imagine.
You gotta strap in.
Okay. Follow with me here. Let's pretend that you are suspended on a carpet. Not even a carpet. It's not loose. A little 6x6 foot pad of cement, right? It's not moving, and you're 200 feet in the air. You having a good time up there? Now move. Now have it shoot around. Like, there's nothing to grab on or hold on
to. Well, it takes care. I mean, the carpet takes care of you. If you fall, it's going
to
pick you up.
I've seen them. I don't want him to have to do that.
Guys,
Mike, break it down.
We have the math. Owl Borland has found this. Because
amazing.
So in A Whole New World, you see them start in Agrabah. Then they go to Cairo, Olympus, China, and then back. And if you work out all the mileage, apparently this carpet is going at least 1,165 miles per hour. And all you're doing is you're plopped crisscross applesauce on this thing, just flying. What's the speed of sound?
Oh, that's got to be
Mach 1?
That's got to beat the speed of sound. Has to.
The speed of sound is 343. Oh, is that meters per second?
Oh, no, we're close. Okay. We're close. Someone do the math.
I can't get from meters per second to miles per hour. It's impossible.
Nobody's ever done it. 761 miles an hour.
So we're going almost Mach 2.
Yeah, you're not.
If a
you're
bird,
not staying on that carpet.
How many people rode that carpet and a bird hit it? And it's over.
You're done.
You're done.
What's his face? Who was on the roller coaster?
Fabio. Fabio.
Fabio took a bird.
I just brought that story up the other day. Yes,
no,
I did.
Joke. Andy was talking to me. I've never heard this until like 2 days ago. He was talking to me.
No way.
I swear to you, the Fabio story of him going down a roller coaster, getting smacked in the face by a bird, breaking his nose, blood everywhere.
Now, the best part is why this story came up is because we had Kyle, one of our editors for the Fantasy Footballers, and his wife, who we met for the first time, came to town. Took him up north to Prescott, and she got hit in the. A bird flew into her head.
Just right into her face.
Wait, what?
Just right into her head.
Yeah.
She's sitting there reading in the morning. A bird flies into her head and then flies
off. She's not moving?
No, she's sitting. Bird says, that head looks great. I'm going to fly into that.
Was she okay? Did it draw blood?
No, she was just fine.
All right.
But then I was like, hey, Fabio wants. I was like, he got hit in the face with a bird. Anyways, that's really fast. Nobody, they took 1,100 miles an hour very well in the movie.
Yeah, Pan is not going that fast.
I mean, the reality is, it's magic. You're gonna be safe because
both are magic.
If we're breaking this down for science, you're freezing in space. The vacuum of space. You're done. You get out of the atmosphere.
Start to the right and straight
on till morning. You're a dead block of ice when you get there.
That's true.
So we got to go magic.
Okay.
And I'm still. If I get to play in Neverland, I'm going.
I mean, you do have magic dust that lets you fly.
Yeah. Okay. But only if you have positive thoughts.
That's true.
We really broke that down, didn't we? All right, one more would you rather question. Alex from Patreon. Would you rather, these are great today, by the way. Alex from Patreon says, would you rather have to bathe fully clothed?
Oh, no.
Or throw all of your food on the floor before eating it?
What?
Oh, my gosh. The idea of sitting down for dinner and knocking your food on the floor.
No more soup.
And then go eat.
Yeah, the soup's going to be a problem.
You just, then you get on the floor and eat it up.
You're going to have a straw.
No, you're going to have to build. Yeah. What you're going to need to do is you're going to have your kitchen done like a commercial kitchen where there's a drain at the bottom and the floor just kind of slants a little bit. So you just sweep it into that drain.
Oh, I thought it was more of like a half pipe. Like,
but that just cleans it.
You think sweeping the soup on the floor into the drain is going to really clean your soup?
I'm talking, but I'm trying to eat it.
Yeah, I'm saying, but like,
you how are you going to eat it after it's in the drain?
Well, you put a cup in the drain. I'm saying you sweep it into there to like collect your soup back.
That's
up.
That's pretty gross. You're mixing everything together. You're sweeping it all together.
It's disgusting. It's just, that's the point. This
don't
is disgusting.
Use that broom. That's my soup broom.
That's my soup broom. I feel like I'd rather have a soup squeegee than a soup broom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you sop and squeege?
Yeah, for sure.
The classic sop and squeege.
Well, that's where you just lay down, a cheek on the ground with your mouth open, and someone squeezes the soup right in.
Yeah.
What would be a real problem is if you sweated milk while you were gathering the food on the ground.
All right.
Be a
Both
mess.
Of these are bad.
You can't bathe fully clothed.
Well, you're washing your clothes, too.
Yeah, nobody's, but you're not washing the parts of your body that really need to be washed.
You can get in there.
I think you could soap through, right? Like you can soap through. Absolutely,
you can't soap through denim.
Now,
the jeans would be a little bit
of a problem. But I'm thinking about like a wash rag, right?
Uh-huh.
It's just cloth. I put some soap on a wash rag and I wash my armpits. I'm just saying, if I go in with my shirt on, I wet my shirt, which already is disgusting.
It's already wet.
And then I take body wash,
re-wet,
and then I put body wash on my hand and I put that right onto my armpit over the shirt.
You'll soap through.
And I keep washing. I think it would work.
Unless you're wearing denim. Okay. Like, I mean, the denim problem is a real one.
You got denim and you got underpants.
What do you got now?
Underpants.
Underpants. Right. Now, to be fair, I don't wear denim.
Or underpants.
Or underpants. So,
oh, man, I thought we were going dark.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
basketball.
Old commando.
Basketball shorts alone.
I'm out there,
I can
Jerry.
Clean through that.
Okay. I don't think bathing fully clothed is Both something I can get used to. If I throw my food on the floor, I've eaten food off the floor.
Who hasn't? But not a whole meal.
Honestly, not a meal.
Is this just a big scare tactic from the mothers of the 40s and 50s? Like, can't you eat off the floor without getting sick? What are you going to get sick from?
Well, let me ask you this.
What's on the floor that's going to get me sick?
Probably bacteria. Poop particles from shoes.
Yeah, but how long do they live down there?
That's a good
forever.
Question. Forever?
They don't live there forever.
Bacteria doesn't live forever.
It lives very long. I believe it was the first life form.
I have to imagine that tables are dirty.
Oh, yeah, especially at a restaurant where they're like, let me get this real dirty rag.
See, germs are a myth.
Well, interesting. Interesting take. So tell us more about this myth of germs.
I just think it's a scare tactic to get us to have to buy more food every time we drop it.
Yes.
Big food.
Big food, trying to push that bacteria.
Fecal matter can survive for days or sometimes even weeks on surfaces.
Yeah.
Prove to me that 1 week old fecal matter gets me sick. Then I'll believe you.
Oh, poop is everywhere.
But does it make you sick or is it good for you?
Ooh, that's a question only you can answer by trial and error, Andy. Trial and error.
Right.
I'm going to wash myself in clothes because afterwards I change clothes.
Yeah.
I don't have to wear my wet clothes. I'll be fine.
Oh, that's fair. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll do some life advice.
Spitballers to the rescue.
I'm glad that that last segment was so grounded in reality and facts, because we've reached the point in the show where we give some life advice.
Let's get real.
Yeah, let's get real. Let's get serious. Life's not all about fun and games. Optimal Pooper from Patreon writes in.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Optimal Pooper. When I get out of the shower, is it acceptable for me to step out onto the floor mat and dry off? I think that is why the mat is there, but my wife can't stand it when the mat is soggy and expects me to dry off in the shower before stepping out. Mike, I know a soggy mat is not Mike's friend.
Oh, my goodness. No, absolutely not. And this, to me, I'm very concerned, number one, about this person's bath mat. What size of a bath mat? Do you guys have the big shaggy ones?
I don't have shaggy. I have a big...
medium pill?
I have a pretty large bath mat that is kind of like...
I don't care about surface area. I care about thick.
It's very, very thick, but it's...
Ooh,
no, hold on, hold on. It's very thick, but it's more like a memory foam.
Oh!
No, I don't think it soaks through. This is its purpose, is a bath mat. It's not like an absorbing material that's soaking into the pad.
Mike is picturing shag carpet.
Yeah, shag, but
no, this is not carpet.
So it doesn't absorb. So you get out, if you're very wet, your water...
It's made of marble.
Your water will simply go onto
slippery.
Your mat that will not hold the water, and it will just spill it all over your bathroom floor.
So there's like a layer...
Does it absorb or doesn't it absorb?
There's a layer on top. That is like, you know, absorbent. A thin layer of absorbent material. And then there's cushy, comfy stand on this pillow.
How's it
and
work
then a rubber bottom.
You?
And it's fantastic. And it's where I dry off single
day.
You step out while wet.
100% I dry off on the bath mat. It's what it's made for.
But okay. I was about to say, why do that? Because the shower is much warmer. But then I remember you take 45-minute showers, so your whole bathroom
My whole bathroom, nice and steamy.
I dry off. I would say 81% in the shower.
Yeah.
And then when I get out of the shower, the bottoms of the feet get the mat, obviously. I don't know if Mike's like drying the bottoms of his feet doing a little hop ski over to the mat.
No, absolutely not. When I'm mostly dried in the shower. When I get out, it will leave a couple footprints, but that's it. That's the only evidence of me being on the bath mat.
I have to
two footprints.
Yes.
I have to
maybe three.
Completely get dry on the bath mat before my
what are you doing?
My bathroom floor, guys, is
it's
whatever
scary
material the people that built this house put in should not have been used on a bathroom floor. If there is an
non-absorbent
ounce, if there is an ounce of water, you're going for a ride. I literally finished drying off. I was doing stuff. I was getting stuff. And then I remembered, this is because of you, Andy. I had left my glasses in the shower. So I walk back in the shower to get my glasses.
Oh, re-wetting.
My feet just get a little wet, but I'm totally dry.
Because I made that idea the other day.
Yes.
About
taking a shower with glasses on.
I wasn't there. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. On another podcast, you said I should try showering with glasses.
Don't
I tried it.
Your glasses. It was, just
Jay, go back.
In.
So, it's important to say I was not there for this.
No, but I walk in the shower, grab my glasses, come back out, and I ate it.
Oh,
I mean, I just straight up like banana peel style. Whoop.
On your butt?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of, I went towards the butt, turned in the air, landed more on the shin. But I mean, it
ow
was.
Towel on or bare naked?
Oh, bare naked, brother. I was happy no one was around for that one. I was like, oh, I got to get my glasses. I'm getting ready and I'm hustling. Like, it's time to get dressed. And whoop. It hurt
right
a lot.
That sounds dangerous.
So fully dry off on your bath mat.
No, you dry the you stay in the shower. You stay warm.
That's the reason I stay in the shower is the warmth.
It's absurd.
It's actually one of the reasons I kind of resent the open ended shower.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're really nice, but that open door shower,
right?
It doesn't contain the heat.
Yeah, I got you. They do look cool, but
you should just try running it longer.
Yeah, that's an option. All right, we'll stop there. Nick from the website. Another life advice question. When one person pulls the trash bag and takes it to the curb.
Oh,
this
yes.
This is a great question. Whose responsibility is it to put a fresh bag into the interior can? I'm always doing the legwork, so I expect my wife to put the new bag in, but she says the person who empties it should be responsible. Please help. I can't tell you how many times I've thrown something messy into a bagless can.
Oh.
And you do that after you've taken the trash out,
course.
Which is a selfless act.
Yes, of course.
I mean, there is a clear right answer here.
There is multiple right answers to this question.
Wait a minute. There are multiple
yes.
correct answers.
I've got a framework that I live by.
Okay.
Which is simply, if the spouse is in the vicinity while this bag is being taken, they should meander to said basket and put the new bag on.
Asked or unasked?
Unasked.
Only oh. asked. Only asked.
Oh, okay.
If you take the garbage out, that is your job. You're saying I'm doing the garbage. And
no, I'm volunteering so you put a new bag in.
You've got to finish the job. You start the job, you finish the job. If I'm having my son do chores and I say, hey, take the garbage out. I come back and there's not a garbage in that
oh.
in there. You're darn right. That's his fault. It's not like, hey, take the garbage out. I'm going to put the liner. Now, if he says, will you put the liner in? Absolutely, bud. I got you. If I'm taking the garbage out, I'm like, hey, will you throw a liner in there? Great. Yeah, you can do it too. But if it's unspoken and you're taking the garbage out, put a liner back in. That's on you. And then you throw something in the garbage later and get upset at the other person that they didn't put a liner in. Look in the mirror. It's your fault.
So basically, if you start doing the dishes or whatever, and you don't ask people around you, they're free.
Absolutely. Hmm. Wait, do you have? I think it's hard to do dishes with multiple people.
They're waiting to clear the dishes, move them over, kind of put some in the dishwasher. There's room for a couple people to help with that.
I'm with Jason. I've never understood where you show the romantic. Oh, it's the back in the 50s. You got the AM radios on and the mom and the
for
dad
the dishes?
Are dancing next to each other. I'm picturing well, I think it's like
what
a
do you
specific
do? You say
scene.
You got dibs and walk out?
It used to be like, I'm going to wash it, hand it to the other one, they
who
dry
does the
it.
Drying?
We got a dishwasher now, so we just load it. I'm just in
what
the
do you
way.
Mean we? Well, you don't mean we, right?
I mean all three of us own a dishwasher.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right?
But like if your wife starts cleaning up around the kitchen and you walk out of the kitchen, that works for you?
That's when I take the garbage out.
Oh,
and the nice thing is the longer
nice.
I take, I look, ooh. I here, listen, pro
that's
tip.
That's when I take my poops.
Here's the thing, pro tip.
While you're taking the garbage out?
No.
If I'm still doing
the dishes get started, I go, I'll be right back. I got to take a dump ski.
If I'm still doing the garbage and there's no garbage in that liner, my job's not done. I can't do something else yet because it's my responsibility. But
right, Mike hasn't weighed in. He said there's multiple right answers.
Well,
what's the policy around your
we
abode?
We've really laid out everything the way that I feel about it. I believe that if I'm taking the garbage out and someone is around, I shouldn't have to say anything. You should notice I'm bringing the garbage out
yes.
and a liner should be put in. Mm. But that's not the way that the real world actually works. So I side more with Jason that if I am taking on the job of the garbage, I need to all, when I'm back in,
I
need to put the liner in. I need to finish the job unless
can I make an audit to my policy?
Yeah.
How about this? If you take the trash out and then you get back, you can't get mad at the other person, but I can go, oh,
that's
like,
fair.
Well, can I go
just
oh,
super passive
just a little,
aggressive?
No, just a little sad that there's not a new liner in there. Is that okay?
I'll allow that. I will allow that because it's a step towards the right direction, and that's all we're doing here is trying to improve everybody's lives.
All right, here's one final one before we get into our draft here. Brian Ketron from absolutely any platform he can stalk us on writes in, is it necessary to wash your hands after peeing if you're in your own home?
Oh, this is a legitimately
necessary
great question. This is a great question because the answer, of course, is yes. But now
there
let's talk.
There are two correct answers to this question.
There are multiple correct answers. And the answer is yes, you're supposed to wash your hands after you pee in your own house.
Of course.
Absolutely. But now we get to spitballers real life.
Yeah.
Let's discuss.
Yeah, no, I've got you.
I ain't washing my hands after I go to the bathroom in my house. No,
never?
Number one. No, no. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying I take a little pee.
Right.
I'm making judgment calls on look, if everything went according to plan, I shouldn't need to wash my hands.
Yes, yes. Obviously, if I just so happened, like, oh, darn, I peed all over my hands. Guess what? I'm going to wash them suckers.
I'm just saying, it seems like the act can be completed in a safe manner, germ-free, you know, at your house. Now, at a public restroom, in a urinal situation, the distance between me and where my pee lands is very close sometimes compared to at the house where it's way down there.
Right, the splashback.
So splashback is an issue.
I believe an invisible splashback at a urinal. I don't believe an invisible splashback at home.
You're covered in a mist of urine.
Yeah, you don't need invisible knowledge. I mean,
I don't need a black light.
It's just super visible.
Yeah, I mean, my legs. I'm wearing shorts. Legs are just covered in.
Have you done that public? Okay, no, I want to go into that because we've all look. Ladies, you haven't experienced this.
Congrats, ladies.
But there are urinals that are misengineered.
Oh, my gosh.
And, no, I know. They're made as reflection machines.
Yes.
And when you pee on them, it's not a soft stream right onto your leg. It's a pure laser beam to your leg.
Why do some urinals just they take my pee and they do a great job at it? Others are like, I reject you. I mean, I might as well be peeing on a wall from 1 inch away.
And those urinals, we all do the same thing on them, which is we try to then, when we notice it, we try to move a little to try to stop it. And those urinals never let you go.
I'm going to aim down, maybe try to hit the side.
Right into the drain. No.
This is just, you try to beat the urinal, it's going to find a way to attack your face.
You just increase the surface area of the rejection.
You may make it worse, not better. Yes. Sometimes you just take it because you're like, this is the best it's going to get.
Listen, guys, this is my number one problem with flip-flops. I mean, look, I'm a flip-flop man, but when I go to a public restroom, I know the problems that are going
to... I have to piggyback this because I've many times had that happen.
Should I wash my feet?
Yes. This is where I'm getting. Have you been in a restroom? Now, look, I've been alone in a restroom when that's happened. It's very easy to grab a paper towel, get it wet.
Absolutely.
You wipe the legs, you sneak out.
I've done that.
But when there's a full restroom and you've got two wet legs...
There's nothing you can do.
Do you have to commit?
No,
you're walking out with wet legs.
I'm maybe doing the back of the shorts wipe. That's about like one leg wipe the back of my shorts. But no, if it's a busy place, I'm not showing these guys that I peed all over my legs and washing my legs. Could you imagine walking into a restroom and all of a sudden you got some guy with his foot up in the sink just washing his pee foot?
See, I'm thinking
just,
in this.
You look at me and go, been there, brother.
I was going to say, in this restroom,
I understand.
Maybe if we did it publicly, the rest of the guys would feel like,
I'm going in the stall.
Thank goodness I can wipe my legs now.
Look, we are doing great stuff here. We are normalizing what everyone experiences in the men's bathroom.
And
look,
we're teaching the ladies. Like, I don't think they know. Like, I don't know that my wife knows this life because we hide it.
And look, you can extrapolate here what happens when there are multiple people by these rejectional urinals.
Oh, no.
It's not always your dewdrops on your legs. So
Mike,
no. It's always mine. It's always only mine.
Even if I've stopped peeing,
no matter what,
mine.
No matter how close I am, even if I have just finished and I think it came a little late, it's mine, 100% mine and mine alone, Mike. I've checked the science. It is correct. It's only able to bounce straight from one person to that same person.
We can't solve the problem if you don't identify it. Why can't we in the men's bathroom? But I know that not all of them, but there are ladies' bathrooms. I've heard tales like there's couches. Oh. There's like.
It's all rumor, but I've heard it.
Yes, we've all heard the rumor because women take care of the bathroom. They don't go into the stall and then just start doing 360s for whatever reason. Like, we've all seen that stall too. Like, who was in here? Who was doing this? But my point is, why can't we get a hand sink and then just a little foot sink on the bottom?
For the flip-floppers?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, there's a
rinse
lot
them
of
off.
Ladies, there's a lot of urinal policy that you're not aware of.
Oh,
one of
the
others,
etiquette, yes.
You know, Al Borland wants me to bring to mind, maybe he does. You never pull up next to somebody at a urinal.
Oh, never. No.
That is,
you leave a space.
You don't sit next to like the next seat at a movie theater.
You go in and there's three empty stalls, three empty urinals, which one are you taking?
One of the outside.
Left or right?
Yes.
It's the only acceptable options.
However, you can get into a pickle with that situation where people think you're an animal. Because if you're in a full restroom, obviously you are taking one of the close ones. next to somebody. But then if the other people leave, it's you and that one person, and that's when it gets real awkward.
But people we understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. That when you're using a bathroom, it happens.
You guys want to draft now?
Oh, my God.
Or talk about pee some more.
It's tempting because I've got more to say on the subject. But let's save that for another episode.
I have been caught, like we tell the kids to wash their hands after they go to the bathroom at home. And they've definitely caught me not doing it. And then we're like, you don't. And I'm like, I don't have a good answer for you.
That's when you just
grown up pee is healthy.
It's when you come and you grab them by the face.
Oh, no.
You say,
with your dirty hands?
Sure, I did. And then you walk away.
Okay. It's time to draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, we're drafting the best sitcom characters. I'm not sure that I'm in the best spot for this or not.
Oh, I thought you'd love having this spot.
And this is kind of, man, there's really two, three. There's three that I love.
You got three 101s?
Interesting.
Three that I think could be 101s. And the problem is you go, I mean, sitcoms have been around for a while. You have a little bit of the, you know, you have older ones, you have newer ones. I'm worried about recency bias in the polls, people being fans of, you know, more recent sitcoms.
I am not caring about the polls 1 ounce on this draft.
You gotta go with who you love.
This is all heart.
I assumed, because I know both of you love a certain show, that the 101 would be just a clear. I'm surprised.
I don't know which character he would go with.
That's fair.
I feel like
here's the problem. There is best characters, but those aren't always the most screen time either.
Most prominent. Yeah.
Always the most prominent. There's characters that you love that are favorites, that are fan favorites.
I've got a bit,
but they're
part
not number
on
one.
My list.
Yeah. That's what there are bit characters that are
sometimes
the best part of the show.
But I think I'm going to go with, Michael Scott from The Office.
Okay.
Because that combines both. Right? Like, there are other characters that are bit parts that are really favorites, but Michael Scott's a favorite. He was also the main character of the show. He managed to pull off being the hilarious main character of the show.
I would say so. It wasn't
Jim?
No.
Michael Scott was the main guy.
Okay. Yeah. So I will go with Michael Scott from The Office.
That's who should have been the 101, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's where I got to. I mean, there's so many favorites that I have. I think some will come back to me. But Michael Scott, at the end of the day, I think was the best sitcom character, so he goes 101.
And I still have not made it through the entirety of The
Office. Which is why you
asked
whether Michael Scott was really the main character.
No, I mean, I think he's great, but it would also I wouldn't draft him because it would be disingenuous to me.
Now, you would have, though, Jason.
Oh, Jason 100%.
Michael Scott?
Yeah.
There's no chance he would have got past me.
So I'm not – I feel good. So, Mike,
he would have been my first pick for sure.
Yeah. So you are up, Mr. Mike. You are going Hart.
And I could play the game, but I'm going to take my favorite sitcom character of all time, the longest running show of all time.
Oh, you going Alan Alda from MASH?
Not the oldest show of all time.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm taking Homer Simpson.
Ah.
Homer Simpson. The Simpsons was designed originally. It was supposed to be Bart. And then they realize quickly that, no, Homer is the best character on this show. And, I mean,
what actor is he played by?
Dan
Castellaneta.
Yeah. Hmm. And, if you have Disney Plus and you haven't watched The Simpsons, I mean, don't watch the first few. It's rough. It took them a while to find their way. But if you jump in.
The last 28 or 30 years is pretty good.
But, like, season 3 through season 10, man, it is just.
I can say I've watched them casually throughout the years.
Oh, it's.
But I have not seen a lot of Simpsons.
The Simpsons have done every single joke that you could ever think of. It's already been done. And Homer is my favorite sitcom character of all time.
There's nothing wrong with that pick.
Yeah, no, I like that quite a bit. So I know my first. That's easy. I mean, Andy Dwyer is locked in.
Oh, okay.
Parks and Recreation.
Chris Pratt, especially Fat Chris Pratt, was just so funny. Nobody ever just
did the character get ruined when he became Buff Pratt?
No, absolutely not. He was, it was different, but not ruined at all. I mean, Chris Pratt's just too funny.
Year one, Andy Dwyer wasn't the best, in my opinion, but I think from season two through the end of the series, he was. Max funny.
Yeah, year one, Parks and Rec wasn't
that's
really
it took
that
a while.
Good.
Yeah,
it did take a while. Now I'm in a bit of a pickle. Okay. Now I'm in a bit of a pickle.
I'm so excited right now because I just don't think you guys are going to take my picks, and
so
it's great.
The next guy or character on my list would be from the same show, and I don't want that. Like, I'm fine with that if it comes back to me, whatever. But I just
to not have diversity on your roster.
Yeah, I want some diversity, and I'm gonna go with a character that was so good, so funny, that when he left the show could not survive, no matter funny it was.
That's true.
That is also true. Erlich Bachmann.
Dang it!
An adage from Silicon Valley.
He 100% was my next pick.
Really? I mean, this is not a poll winner because not everybody's seen Silicon Valley the way that everyone has seen Parks and Rec and The Office, but Erlich Bachmann was as funny as any character gets.
I feel like you were so true to yourself on those two picks.
Oh,
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, me too.
Neither of them, it wasn't no Fortnite picks from you.
No.
So Erlich Bachmann.
Jerry
huh?
Seinfeld.
Oh my gosh. The show would be over.
I missed an opportunity to just grab Seinfeld from a show I have not watched just because he's a huge name. But no, I'm going to go Andy Dwyer and Erlich Bachmann.
So the question here is, who does Mike go with next?
Man.
To add to Homer Simpson, and will my dreams come true?
Your dreams will. I mean, one of the characters that you want is definitely on my list, but I don't think I'm not going to take him here. I can't believe you took Bachmann.
Yeah.
Like, that is.
Were you going to go Bachmann?
I 100% was going to take him on this pick.
If you took him on this pick, I would be tilting right now because I just assumed nobody was putting
him on
their list.
He was not on my list.
And he was going to be my fourth round pick, but I wanted him.
Oh. Definitely tell people what show each of these guys are from so that they know.
Yes.
In case they
so
haven't
Silicon
seen
Valley.
It.
All right. I'm going to grab a character from a show. This show has been on forever.
The Simpsons. I'll take Bart.
No. But it's a pretty popular show, but not. I wouldn't say it's like an all timer because it's not
all
a main.
Right.
It's not
suspense.
It's not a main network.
Okay.
So we're going off the path a little bit. I'm going to take Charlie Kelly.
Oh yeah, baby!
From Always Sunny in Philadelphia. God. He is like, and this is very tough for me because when people ask what's my favorite character from Sunny, it flip flops. Sometimes it's Charlie, sometimes it's Dennis. It just depends on the day. We're on a Charlie day. He is one of my most quoted characters.
I like that you're on a Charlie day. well done.
Yes.
Nice.
Pun withstanding.
This is the greatest day of my life.
Because your 102 got back to you?
No, I had three 101s and I get them all.
Oh, look at
there
you.
There are three 101s for me. Michael Scott. And then I'll just give you the next two real quick. Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
That was who I wanted, but I had Dwyer.
Kramer from Seinfeld.
Yeah, okay. Kramer was the one I would have taken.
Which were the two clear. I could not decide between those three for 101, and
Andy,
I got them all.
I don't know the last time Andy won a poll.
Well, it's going to be this one.
It will be this one.
But that's a monster team.
That team is I don't even care who my last one is. I might go MASH. Who knows?
What's nice is that frees me up completely to just take the characters I love that might not be the biggest characters. I would have taken Ron Swanson. Like, Andy Dwyer and Ron Swanson were my top two on my list, but I didn't want both.
And I knew you wouldn't pass on Andy Dwyer.
No.
So I had to take my shot. I didn't know if Mike would grab Ron Swanson or not. Have you?
He's on the list.
Okay. Have you? Yeah, you've watched
done,
all the way through Parks.
Yeah, I made it. Ron Swanson is the number two on my list.
Well, he plays you in the biopic.
Yes. Yes. I've heard that. He was just like he was the second name I thought of. But like I said, I'm going all heart on this one. All right. So I'm back up.
Yeah.
All right. Now this is where
we're both free. Fly.
Oh, I'm flying, and this is where I'm playing the actual. Game where I'm using knowledge I acquired before the show.
You son of a gun. Because, I knew it.
I may not take your character.
Right.
But it doesn't matter because I will be taking the first character from this show. And this is, maybe this is recency bias. I do not know. But my wife and I are currently going through Schitt's Creek right now.
So funny.
And it is.
It's a good show.
It is. I'm in the fourth season. This is an all-timer.
Oh, you've it's leveled to that.
Yeah, I'm not even done with this show. And right. this is an all-timer.
Producers need to learn to give a good comedy show multiple seasons, because Parks and Rec season one was not that good.
But you had talent on the show.
Season one of Schitt's Creek wasn't that good. It wasn't great.
Yeah, it took a while to get me in there.
Oh, but it gets so good.
But in this, it's really tough to pick your favorite character. But I'm taking the mom.
Yes, she's unbelievable.
I'm taking Moira Rose.
She's spectacular.
David.
I have
always
never
dressed up like a wild bird.
I mean,
incredible.
She literally created an accent that doesn't exist.
And the best part is she just has to talk because her character is so eccentric and the accent is so out of this world. She just says regular words and it's hilarious.
Yeah, my wife can do a great Moira. She's great.
Then again, but terrifying.
Alexis.
What was that? That's Catherine O'Hara.
She's spectacular.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, from Home Alone. Yeah.
Oh, man.
From really a lot of stuff.
No, I know, but we diminished her entire career and put it in Home Alone.
She is unbelievable in that. I'm just going to piggyback because I wasn't sure who I was going to take between David and Moira. Yes,
that's where it was for me, too.
And so you picked first. I give you credit in that, but I'm gonna take this guy. Ew, David. I'll take David Rose.
That's not even him.
Yeah, you just
I know. Yeah, I did the sister, but with his name. So I'm gonna take David Rose. He's my first. And now, oh goodness, my last pick. I have so many little bit characters I want. I guess I'll wait on naming them because there's two more picks ahead of me. All right. I'm going to go with I'm down to two.
That's some real grunting.
In the end, only one
heart, man.
Only one of these characters got ran over by Alexis. John Raffio.
You guys are just drafting Parks and Rec.
I only got two of them. I let Ron Swanson go.
It's only 50% of my team.
Oh. Should I pivot back to my other
part?
No,
it's too late.
Pick? Yeah.
No, John Raffio is a great character.
It is.
You almost went three, though. That's what's funny is you're like, I almost went Ron Swan. You just draft Parks and Rec.
Man, maybe I should have gone with the guy with $3,000 suits, but we'll see.
All right, Mike, it's back to you. One more pick for your team.
Man, I am very torn here. Goodness gracious. So, two characters. Both excellent shows. All right, whatever. We'll stay with the show that whatever. Okay, I'm trying to talk myself
oh
into
my
one
goodness.
Of them. It's tough over here because I love both of these characters.
Let's go five rounds.
Let's go. Well, we can go five because I got two. But I'm gonna go Jake Peralta.
That's very good.
I'm gonna take Andy Samberg from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Nine-Nine.
And this one's a little tougher. Because the other one is a character that I was going to draft. And Jake Peralta is basically just Andy Samberg. He's just him in all of the things that he is in, which is hilarious. And he's one of my favorites out there right now. But Jake Peralta, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, cool.
All right, Andy, you now have final pick or your second to last pick. If you'd like to go, or your third to last pick,
I'll
go all day here.
I don't care. Whatever you guys want to do. You want to go a five total?
Go.
So I've got two picks?
I want five because there's just too many good
players. This is all easy. Right. This is a walk in the park. Okay, so I got two more.
Yeah.
Lucille Ball.
She's on my list.
Of course she is.
Because I pay homage, my friend.
I've never seen an episode in my life.
It was great. I loved watching that with my mom growing up. All right, I have Michael
Jan
Scott.
Jan Brady. Jan, sorry.
Now, that's funny. Michael Scott, Ron Swanson, Kramer, I have them so far. I'm going Dwight Schrute.
Okay.
And I'm going George Costanza.
All right. Yeah, very good.
The best sitcoms have the best characters.
A very powerful team.
And so Dwight Schrute and George Costanza will round out my team. Which is unfortunately for you unbeatable.
Yeah.
Well, oh yeah.
In the polls, you got this one. Yeah. That's fine. In my
I had Moira, had David, had John Raffio. So you guys have made picks right off my list. It's just you left me the best.
All right. Perfect. Whatever. And now the decision on this is over. Going to a show where, you could have 100 people, and you might end up with 8 different answers of your favorite character from this show because there are just so many. But I will go with my favorite character from this. I will take Job.
From
Arrested Development.
It's a $3,000 suit. Come on. That's okay. That's okay,
there's one
though.
More from that show you can take.
There's a million from that show I could take. Tobias is on my list, but I'm not. Because at the last minute, I was between Job and another character that I had forgotten about. Look, we're fantasy football players. The League was not the most popular show of all time, but Rafi?
Yes.
Rafi from The League was one of the best characters of all time on any show, so I'm happy to scoop up Rafi at the end.
Wow, crap. I can't think of his name.
The actor? Jason Mantzouk? I don't know.
Mantzoukas?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, something like that.
But he's so funny. He's the same thing.
He's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and you know who he plays? Rafi.
In everything.
It is because
he's also
great.
A voice in Invincible. And you know who he plays?
Rafi. Yes, he is great.
He is fabulous.
All right, so those were our...
that's a good sneaky pick, Jason.
Favorite sitcom characters. I have a feeling we'll receive a large amount of
Friends. No Friends on our list. I didn't watch Friends.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler Bing.
I watched lots of Friends, but who's actually the best character on that show?
They congeal. I think Chandler would win. I think Chandler's kind of... Joey or Chandler.
Enough. Really? For me, I would have said...
I'm in the middle of it right now. Like, I'm on the second to last season. I've never watched through it all.
There was a wave where it was easily Ross.
Oh, yeah?
And then by the end,
they morphed his character into the most unlikable.
They turned him into just a complete psychopath by the end. But in the middle, he was the best.
Any, you got any other characters on your list? I got a couple here.
I did genuinely have Lucy Ricardo in that show.
Yes. Okay.
I had Elaine from the same show that I just brought up. You also could go Larry David.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Although, is it a character if you're... You know, if you play
it,
something.
It is.
Tracy Jordan by Tracy Morgan in 30 Rock. He was hysterical. Fresh Prince is just like a shout out. Not as funny, but a great character from a long time. And Kenny Powers.
You know who deserves some credit would have been the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond. She's one of the best actresses ever. She's so ridiculously funny.
I did not watch it.
I'm pretty sure that character annoyed me.
Oh my gosh.
I had
so funny.
Just the couple I had left. I also had Jared from Silicon Valley on my list as just low key.
Oh yeah.
Hilarious. And then I had my shout out. There's no way you could draft him because I couldn't even remember his name. So I had to look it up. But Noho from Barry.
Totally. He was I saw him and I almost put him on my list.
He is so
Barry.
Good.
That's not a sitcom though. That's a drama.
Yeah, that's questionable.
It's not a standard sitcom at all.
Sure. Also, I need to apologize to the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond because she was very fun. She was not the character I was thinking of. I think I'm thinking of the mom from that 70s show.
Oh yeah, I can see that being annoying.
Oh, she's great. Well, let me Google because maybe I'm wrong and just giving shade to all these old moms.
All right. I think we've exhausted the sitcom characters.
Yeah,
I
just want to.
What did we learn today?
I learned that I really want to go watch television right now.
Okay. I learned that I'm not alone in peeing on my own legs.
It's important.
I learned that you, no matter what is going on at a urinal, it's always your urine.
Yes, very important.
Never anybody else's.
That's a fact.
That'll do it for the Spitballers podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I was taking a bath.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.